Take your Bibles today and go to Proverbs chapter 18, please. And, we're going to look at the topic of watch our tongue this morning. And beginning in Proverbs chapter 18, I'd like to take a little closer look at verse 21, where the scripture says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The word death here in this verse means death, or it means the realm of death, those things that proceed out of the realm of death. The word life is a complete opposite. It's the word that means a living, active thing. This word life, the Hebrew word, is used to describe the reviving of the plants in springtime, how they go dormant over the winter, and then they're revived. They all burst out new. Do you ever watch a little flower poke its head up through the grass and you see them bloom and blossom? That's what this word life is. You'll remember, some of us, that the word nephesh is the word for soul and the word chi is the word for living. And when something in the Bible is referred to as a nephesh chi, it's referred to as a living soul. This word life here is the word chi, alive, living. It says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, the power of the tongue. The word power here means hand. It's in the hand, or it's within your hand or your power. In other words, the tongue has the ability, listen carefully, the tongue has the ability to produce things from the realm of the death or things from the realm of life. From the realm of death or the realm of life. And the tongue, your tongue, has the ability to produce those things in your life and in the lives of others. In your life and in the lives of others. You must have the Word of God sown in your heart, and the Word of God must be the bedrock on which you build the foundation of your life on. Because if it is not, when the toils and cares and problems of the world begin to come at you and blow, you will then be tested. And if you are not built upon the firm foundation of God's Word, you will be in for much dilemma, much problem, pressure, trials, tribulations in your life. Destruction follows. The Word of God is the only sure thing that can hold you amongst these things. If the tongue holds the power of death and life, then those things that you speak will result in things that produce life or speak of the realm of life, or produce death or speak of the realm of death. The words that come out of your mouth, the things that you say. Do your words bring death or the things of death, or do your words bring life and the things of life when you speak to someone? The words that you say, the phrases that you say to them, and the heart to which you say it with. You ever find yourself saying, "I wish I never," and then you go and say whatever. "I wish I never married," for instance. There are words that come out of your mouth. And they're not good words. They're words that produce the things of death. They're words that produce a curse if you continue to say them long enough. because the devil will empower those words and see that those words come to pass in your life. I wish I never married. You know what kind of a demon loves to hear the words, I wish I never married? A spirit of divorce. A spirit of divorce loves to hear those words. If a spirit of divorce is around anywhere and it hears a man or a woman say, I wish I never married him, or I wish I never married you, you know what happens to that spirit? Its ears perk up and it says, 1359 West Park Avenue. There's a party there and we're invited. Well, who invited those demons in? You did. You know why you invited those demons in? You invited those demons in because of the words you spoke. Because of the words you spoke. Now, when you play paintball, you have an enemy and you shoot the enemy. And there's different courts that you fight in. You don't go over to the other court. You stay within your court and you fight within that court. The devil's not like that. When the devil comes into your house and say, you are the one that spoke the words, I wish I never had gotten married, he doesn't say, I'm only going to attack you. You know what he says? I'm going to attack anything that's in this house. If you have a cat, I'm going to attack it. If you have a dog, I'm going to attack it. If you have a parakeet, I'm going to attack it. If you have children, I'm going to attack them. See? He will attack anything that's in that house. But it is because of the words that you have voiced to invite him in that you have given him access to your home. And so you know what happens? For instance, if you have children, he gets the children and he works in the children and he gets the children to misbehave or he gets the children to do something that's going to upset you. And then you know what you do? Because you don't have spiritual eyes, you punish the children. And the demons that got the children to act up stand back and they laugh. And they go and they push the child up again and the child does something and you punish the child. And the demon stares back and laughs. Because you're smacking the child, but the demon is the cause of what's going on. That's what happens. And this happens over and over and over and over again in families. Because someone was upset and someone turned around and said, I wish I never married you. Or something like, I hate you. I hate you. When you hear those kind of words, you know who else hears them? The whole spirit realm. They're words that produce death. Or you look at yourself and you say, I hate myself. Or I'm fat. Or I'm ugly, or I'm this, or I'm that. What are you doing? You're just cursing yourself. And the spirit realm hears those words. And if you continue to believe and say those things enough out of your mouth, they will make sure that they empower those words that they come to pass in your life. Well, the authorized version, authorized standard of Proverbs 13:3 says, he that guardeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. When you guard your mouth, first and foremost, you keep your own life. You keep your own life. So, when you speak, the words that come out of your mouth will bring life unto you first and foremost. And then they will minister grace and life to the people that hear you. So it's not just that you're saying something negative. When you're saying something negative, you're not only hurting people, you're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. Proverbs 18:21 again says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. The last part of the verse says, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Some other versions translate the last part of the verse as, and they that rule it shall eat the fruit thereof, they that rule their tongues. If they rule their tongues and they speak good things, they'll eat the fruit of good things. If they don't rule their tongue and they say bad things, they will eat the fruit of bad things. I love you, you're the best. You know, you're pretty. You're cute. You keep telling your spouse that, you will reap the result of the good words that you speak to your spouse. But if you look your spouse in the eye and say, you're a fat buffalo butt, not good, right? You'll reap the results of saying that bad thing with a surfboard up your head, right? Another version translates the end of this verse. Those who indulge in it must eat the fruit it yields. That which your tongue speaks, you must eat the fruit that it yields. If you speak that which is good, then you'll be able to eat the good fruit. If you speak that which is bad, then you'll have to eat that. The Authorized Version, again, the Authorized Standard of Ecclesiastes 10, verse 22 or verse 12 reads, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool swallow up himself. Words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool swallow up the other person? No, swallow up himself. Again, that which you speak turns inward, and it hurts you, and it brings death to you, or it's going to bring life to you, in part or full. You got to watch what you say. Down the garage, sometimes Stephen's with me, and he'll say something to me that I always fly off the handle. He'll say something like, what if you can't fix it, or you can't fix it? And as soon as the word it gets out of his mouth, I stop it and I tell him, I can fix anything made. That's what I tell him. There's nothing that I can't fix. I will fix anything made. That's what I say. That's what I've trained myself to do. And that's what I believe. Now, you have to understand, when you work in a shop with 10 or 15 technicians, you can go to somebody else and get an answer. But when you work in a shop and you're at the bottom of the barrel and you don't have nowhere else to go, you learn to believe God and you learn to get to the root of the problem and fix it. And that's how I've trained myself. I've trained myself never to say, I can't do this. Even if I can't do it, I won't voice it and glorify the devil and show him my weakness. I won't do it. I will not say, I cannot do this. And if my children say, I can't do this, I immediately jump on them and try to teach them, don't say those words in my presence. Because what they're doing is they're inviting defeat into their life. Never say, I can't do this. Many times the difference between success and failure is just in your confession. It's just in the confession. Because you may be physically equipped to do something, but if you don't think you can do it, you're going to fail. Many times the difference between life and death is in your confession. What you say in your confession. You all know Romans chapter 10. Let me read to you verse 9 again. That if thou shalt what? Confess. How do you confess? With your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How important is confession? Confession gets you born again. But if a person says to you, I don't believe that God can love me after all that I've done, I don't believe that your God is true. I've went to your God and he's never answered my prayers before. I don't believe in your Jesus. I don't believe in your God, and I will not confess him as my Lord because I don't believe he can do anything for me. What are those words going to reap to that person? Death. Not only death, those words will yield eternal death to that person. Words, just words. Just that which they spoke out of their mouth. Just a confession. Just that which they said. If you believe in the Lord, you confess him as Lord, you believe that God raised him from the dead, the word promises that you're what? Saved. You have salvation. If you don't want to confess, you don't have salvation. How important are words? How important are the things that you say? You see? If you go around saying to yourself, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, are you helping yourself? No. There have been times that I could not move, literally. And I would sit there and roll for 10, 15, 20 minutes just to get out of bed if I pulled my back. And I was not going to lay in that stupid bed. And then once I'd get up and start walking around, I moved. And I wouldn't stop. And I won't take no. Never has anybody ever called paramedics to come pick me up and bring me to the hospital because I didn't move. Now, if that has happened to you, I'm not telling you that to make you feel better. I'm just telling you the way I am. When I fall asleep, if the Lord should tarry, that's when I'll get my rest. Understand? That's when all my bones and my pains and everything else will go away. But as long as I have breath within me, I'm going to move, and nothing's going to keep me down. An old man once told me one time, he was about 85 and he was still working. He said, "Son, it's hard to hit a moving target." Because I asked him, "Why are you working at 85? And that's what he told me. I said, "That's good advice, sir. You keep working." And he was spry and he was in good health. And he had one of these stupid hand squishers so he could keep his muscles up in case one of the young bucks gave him a hard time. I asked him, he said, "Hey, they say something, take them out." That's a true story. Philippians 4:13, what's it say? I can do how many things? All things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Can you say that with me? Everybody, huh? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's say it again. I can do how many things? All things. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You got to start acting that way. If you believe that, out of your mouth will never come the words, "I cannot do this." You see? I can do all things. Do you think God would lie to you? Do you think that God would give you something to do and not equip you to do it? You see? God equips the people that he calls. God does not call the people that are equipped and walk in the strength of their own ministry. God will never call you to do something. God will never place you in a situation to do something that he will not equip you to do it. I have made many steps in my life. Some multitudes have called me a heretic. Multitudes have called me a failure, a cop-out, a liar, a devil-possessed, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if I would have listened to the multitudes, you know where I'd be right now? I'll tell you where I'd be. I'd be going to a fellowship or possibly teaching a fellowship and just coasting along on somebody else's teachings, on somebody else's research, on somebody else's tape, on somebody else's magazine. Never in the world would I have ever been pushed into a position where I would have had to grow up and believe God to instruct me, to teach me, and to lead me. You know why? Because I would be dependent on somebody else. The greatest thing that has ever happened to me with regards to this particular subject is that I stepped out and decided to believe God on my own. In spite of what people said, "You need this, you need that." You don't need anything. You need God. That's what you need. And the people that tell you you need this, that, and the other thing want to tell you that because they want to control you. Now, do you fellowship together? Do you move the word together? Are there governments, ministries? Yes, there are. But you need God first and foremost. God tells us by way of the Apostle Paul, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Do you think that we could believe God here? Proverbs says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding." What's your own understanding telling you? "I can't do this." What's God's word say? "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Now, who are you going to trust? Who are you going to believe in? If God told us that we could do this, these things in context of the word, I'm not talking about growing wings and flying, ridiculous things like that. the task that God has called you to, if God has told you that you could do this, if you go around saying, I can't do it, what are you doing? Well, you're sinning. What you're doing? You're sinning. Because you're saying something, you're saying the direct opposite that God's saying. God says you can do this, you're saying you can't do this. Well, tell me what the difference between that is and this is. In the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die, or ye shall not surely die. Now, why is it a sin in Genesis when the devil said, you shall not surely die, but it's not a sin when we say, I can't do this? Because they both contradict God's word, and it is both the opposite of what God says, right? So if we're going to pull it away for us, let's pull it away for the devil. Let's be fair. Let's be consistent all the way through in our illogic and unbelief. When we say opposite of what the scripture says, we sin. When we sin, we get a little bit farther away from God. We need to learn to train ourselves to speak what the word says. 1 Samuel chapter 17, please. First Samuel 17. Verse 4. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spear head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bare the shield went before him. He needed a guy to carry a shield. Was Goliath, and a guy went before him just to carry his shield. That's how big this guy was. And he stood, and he cried unto the armies of Israel, and he said unto them, why are you come out to set the battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose you a man from you, and let him come down unto me. And if be able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him, verse 9, and kill him, then you shall be our servants, and you shall serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. What's he doing? He's speaking. What's he speaking? Words. Now his words are going to bring those things in the realm of death. Or his words are going to produce those things in the realm of life. He's speaking words. So you got all the army of Israel. You got one bozo opening his big mouth, speaking forth. Right? And you got the whole army of Israel. Look at the reply in verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard the what? Words. Just words. Words can't hurt you in and of themselves. You can't even see them unless they're written down. When they heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and what? Greatly afraid. They got afraid. They saw this guy in front of them. They saw how big he is. They looked by their senses. And you know what it produced in their life? Fear. Because this guy spoke words. He said, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and nobody can beat me. Verse 22, 1 Samuel 17, 22. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and he ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. David was the puppy. His daddy said, go give your brother some food, some bread, and some water. See how the war's gone. Dave was just a kid, a teenager. Teenager. Well, as he talked with them, verse 23, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine. And he spake according to the words, and David, what? Heard them. Spake according to the same words that he spoke before. The words that produced fear in the armies, plural, of Israel, and David was just there minding his own business. Little kid, teenager, heard these words. David, he listened and said, what's going on here? And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, Goliath, you know what they did? They fled from him because they were sore afraid. All these armies, you know what they did? They looked at this guy and they were afraid and they ran. They ran. The men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Now, you know what the men of Israel are doing? Words, they produce life or death. They're now going to testify for Goliath, okay? And they're going to speak words that are going to encourage the fear that Goliath has already instilled in them. Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be the man that killeth him, and the king will give him great riches and give him his daughter, that may be good or bad, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men standing by, saying, what shall be done to this guy that's going to kill this Philistine and take this reproach away from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living who? See, David is already in fight mode. The entire land of Israel was afraid. And David says, who is this uncircumcised son of a Philistine that's going to defy the armies of the living God? That was David's attitude. David was just a kid. He was just a teenager. Well, and the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall be done to him that killeth. He told him what's going to happen. Eliab, the eldest brother, heard that when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why you come down here? Why have you left those sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the haughtiness of thine heart. Thou hast come down so you could just see a battle. So what happened? His older brother, who is a soldier, turns around and says to his younger brother, who was just a sheep herder, you know what? You don't know what you're talking about. You're full of pride. You just came down here to see something. You better get out of here because you don't belong here. You know who belongs here? This is who belongs here. People who are afraid belong here. Okay? People who shudder in fear belong here. You don't belong to our club. And because you're not afraid, and because you don't shudder in fear, you've got a prideful heart. You don't know what the H you're doing. What do you think about that? That's what his brother said. David said, what are you picking on me for? What have I done? There's the big mouth who came over and said something. I was minding my own business. Is there not cause? That's what he says. He turned away from his brother. You know why? Because his brother didn't want to hear anything at that point. Did that stop David? Did David put his tail between his legs and say ye a confederacy, say not ye a confederacy? But David said, say ye a confederacy to them who say a confederacy and fear their fear. Did David do that scripture? No, he didn't join himself to them. He did what the word said. Say ye not a confederacy to them that say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear. That's what David did. Practically. He turned away and he spake to another, and he said the same thing. He said, man, I'll find somebody that'll listen to reason. Guess what? There wasn't nobody going to listen to reason, though, because they were all fear, full of fear. And these people, they heard the words that David spake, and they went and they rehearsed them in the ears of Saul, the king. And David said to Saul, don't let no man's heart fear because of this bozo, verse 32. Thy servant will go out and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, here's your king, right? Here's your leader. I'm going to send you to war, but I want you to know you're never going to be able to win. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, but thou art a youth, and him, he's a man of war from his youth. Now that's encouraging words from your leader, right? But look at David. Look how David has to steal his mind. What I want you to see is that they're trying to tell David, what? I can't do this. That's what they're trying to tell David. They can't do it. They've already confessed that they can't do it. So you know what they want? They want David to join the I Can't Do It club. So in order to join the club, you know what you got to say, David? Listen to us. We're smarter. We're bigger. We're older. You can't do this. That's what they want David to do. What's David do? Okay, I can't do this. Is that what David does? No. Because the adversary will keep pounding and pounding and pounding. So you know what you have to do? You have to dig your heels in and say, bring it on. Is that all you have? I thought you could push harder than that. That's what you have to do. You see? That's what David did. David said unto Saul, or Saul said unto David, you can't do it. David said unto Saul, I was out hanging out with the sheep, and a lion came down, and a bear came down, and they took a lamb from the flock and didn't pay for it. I went after him, I smote him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, and I smote him. Thy servant, David, slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he defies the army of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, you're out of your mind. Go and the Lord be with you. That's what he said. You know why? Because David didn't want to hear the words, I can't do it. David knew that God was with him. David knew that God would encourage him. David had seen God work in his life before. And when someone came to David and wanted to discourage David and say, join the I Can't Do Club, David said, no way, I'm not having none of that. Because the words that David spoke brought life. They didn't bring death. Well, Saul goes and arms David with his armor, verse 38. And he puts all this stuff on David, 39. David girded his sword upon his armor, and he went to go, and he says, I can't do this. These are too bulky. Get this stuff off of me. So David puts the stuff off of him. And he took in his hand his staff, and he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near unto the Philistine. Now what's David doing? David said what he had to say. Now you know what it's time to do? It's time to act. David said what he had to say. Now it's time to act. He was equipped. Now to you and I, he may not look equipped. 5 stones and a staff, does that look equipped? No. But in David's mind, he was equipped because he was going in the name of God. And that's what God decided to equip him with. And the Philistine came near and said unto David and the one that bare his shield before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. And he said, because he was just a little guy, he was ruddy and of a fair countenance. The Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his what? Gods. So what's he trying to do now? The Philistine. He's trying to tell David what? You can't do this. And he's mocking him. He's making fun of him. What does David hold on to though? He holds on to what God said can be done, right? David knows he's empowered by God. David knows that God was with him with the bear. David knows that God was with him with the lion. You know what David knows now? God's with him now. And Goliath takes it another step further. He curses David by his gods. Now we got to see whose God's bigger, the Philistines' gods or the one true God, Jehovah. And the Philistine said to David, such and such cursed him. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the airs and unto the beast of the field. Come here, little boy. Let me teach you what's going to happen to you. What's he trying to do to David? Intimidate David. Trying to intimidate him. Well, why doesn't it work? He's intimidated all the armies of Israel. He's intimidated all the men of war. And he's saying to himself, what's this kid doing here in front of me? I'm just going to scare him away. That's what Goliath is used to doing. He's a big blowhard. He's used to his words coming out and scaring people. And once they scare people, easy prey. Then it was David's turn to talk. Then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a shield and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. You see, David knew the root of the war. He knew why things were happening. And he knew where his power lied. And he said to him, this is who I'm coming to. You're coming to me with all these weapons. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then David goes on and he says, this day will the Lord deliver me, or deliver thee into my hand. And I will smite thee, and I will take your stupid head from your neck, and I'll give your carcass to the host of the Philistines this day, and to the fowls of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth, that the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. How you like that? David said, I'm going to show you, big mouth. When I get done with you, you're going to be fish food. And everybody's going to know that there's a God in Israel. Where does David give the credit and glory to? God. Because he knows where his power's coming from. Now, could any other man in the army of Israel have made this statement? Could they? Was it available? Sure it was. Why didn't they? Because they belonged to the I Can't Do It Club. And if you read subsection 3, chapter B-A in the I Can't Do It Club, all those who belong to that must raise their hand and affirm, I can't do it. I disbelieve God's word. 2 Chronicles, I'm going to read you something. Second Chronicles 16. Could anybody there choose to stand up and believe God, and would have God worked with any of those men in Israel against Goliath? Yeah. But they chose not to. And I want you to see this corporate spirit of fear infested the whole army. But David wasn't infested by the spirit of fear. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why? To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose hearts are perfect towards him. That's what God was doing that day in Israel. He was standing up there and he was looking to and fro through the armies of Israel, and he was looking for just one guy. Just one guy whose heart would be perfect to God, so God could show himself strong in behalf of that man and bring deliverance to Israel. But of all the armies of Israel, there wasn't one guy. You know why? Because they all belonged to the I Can't Do It Club. But then there came a little shepherd, you know, who didn't know any better, who was a nobody, who didn't have a reputation to protect. And he said, who's this big mouth talking about God? Who's this big mouth going to defy the armies of the living God? That's what he said. And then you know what happens? Goliath tries to use his words to instill fear into David. What's David say? It's not going to happen. Because I'm going to take your head from you this day. David was a kid. A kid. And not only was he a kid, he was a small kid. Not only was he a small kid, he was a small kid with a staff and a sling against a monster of metal. A monster of metal. Well, verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword or the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, he will give it into our hands. Everybody's going to see that it's not of our own power and of our might, but But the battle is of whom? The Lord, and the Lord's going to give it into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose, and he came nigh to meet David. So the Philistine gets up now. Now he's coming after him. You know what David does? Look what the Lord says. David hastened. You know what else he did? He ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. You know what that must have did to Goliath's mind? This monster gets up, and he figures, because every time he got up before, all the men did what? They ran away. But you know what David does? Ha! Bigger target to hit, the way he thinks. And what's he do? He runs at him. And David put his hand into his bag, and he took a stone out, and he slung it, and he smote the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell upon his stupid face. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and he smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword found in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine. Could you see this? Little guy, like it's like my kid Nicole standing upon me, like she does dump on my belly sometimes. This is David. That's how big this guy was. Stands upon the Philistine, takes his sword out, and you know what he does? Cuts his stupid head off. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, guess what happened? Tide changed now. They're all afraid. Now they're all running away. Why? Because David didn't join the I Can't Do It Club. Of all the people, the most least likely person to succeed, sense knowledge in that situation, was a teenager, right? But he believed God, which goes to show that if you are the most least likely person to succeed, sense knowledge-wise, if you believe God, nothing is without your reach. You can obtain it. Understand? 1 Peter, please. Who is the Goliath in your life that stands before you today that challenges you and entices you to join the I Can't Do It Club? Is it a marital problem? Is it a children problem? Is it a commitment problem? Is it a problem of fear? Who is the Goliath that stands and defies the armies of the living God today? That's the type of heart that you must have, and that's what you must say. Who is your Goliath? You cannot lose if you do not back down. God's word will promise it and guarantee it. 1 Peter 3:10 says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." You know what it is to refrain your tongue from evil? It's to say, "I can't do it." When Philippians tells us, "I can do all things." You want to live, you want to see good days, you reframe your tongue. Make a commitment, make a vow right now before God Almighty that those words will never come out of your mouth. No matter how you feel. Hey, seen a poster one time, had it on my refrigerator. It was a cat with a bird in its mouth, halfway down its mouth. The bird had its hand around the cat's neck saying, "Never give up." But you got to be. 3/4 of the bird was in the mouth of the cat, and its hand was sticking out, strangling the cat, saying, "Never give up." Right? That's what you have to be. That's what you have to say. Let's close in Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." What is the power that works in you? It's the power that created the heavens and the earth. It's the power of God. It's the power that worked in David that day when he fought the Philistine. It's the power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the power that cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. It's the power that heals people instantaneously when your hands are laid on them. It's the power that brings wholeness to people's lives. And the power works where? In you. In you. You know who it doesn't work in? It's resident, but it doesn't work in the people who say and belong to the I Can't Do It Club. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without, amen. Without end, amen. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks that we don't belong to the I Can't Do It Club, Father. Neither do we want to. Thanks for your great and precious promises, and thanks for how you continue to bless us, that you will be with us, Father, and love us and take care of us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I ask.